Now, incorporating actual recordings of bird songs is such a unique idea. How did you arrive to this point? Did you create a lot of experimental music as you were kind of working towards this project?
Yeah. So I did this degree at WAPA originally in composition and music tech. And that gives that freedom to explore your own craft and develop that. And it was pretty early on in there that I started working with a different music system that had different notes. And that was all fun and all. But later down the track, I just found that birdsong would be a great way to make it make sense.
Mm.
If I can make this music work with the birds, then it might work with other stuff as well, you know.
Now, there's definitely some birds in Australia that I think sound prettier than others. There's definitely some that don't have the nicest bird song. How did you select the birds that you wanted to feature in your score?
Yeah, so the easy way to do it is it's called clean sound. So sounds like squawks or quacks and whatnot, they're really broad sounds and you can't really hear a note, like singing in them. Whereas your magpies and your butcher birds, they do phrases of music that have got notes, and then I can listen and treat that like a melody and then add other lines of music to complement the bird, you know?
Oh, beautiful. As someone who does work, you know, a little bit with audio and who has had to record people and different things in the past, the one thing I have taken away from it is that you don't work with kids or animals. They're really, really difficult to work with. How did you record these bird sounds? That's my big question.
Yeah, it's really not easy. It takes a lot of failed attempts. You know, it's just about getting out there and not expecting that there'll be something you'll get something every time. And I guess I'm more like to be out in the bush and just have a nice time while there.
Mm.
And one in a million times I'll get something decent where all the planets align. You know, the wind isn't in the picture. The birds are where, you know, I want them to be in terms of having the microphone in the right spot. And it's a beautiful moment when that happens.
And that one screeching bird has shut up for 30 seconds so that you can get the nice bird.
Yeah.
Now, you're also...
Yeah, I've had that before. Where I was just approaching a bird that I thought was beautiful and it turned out to be like a parrot.
Oh, no.
I was just mimicking another bird, you know.
And you got to be like, where'd you get that from? Point me in the direction.
Yeah. Have you paid royalties to that bird?
Now, you're also including some accompaniment. Sorry, it's a long word to get through. Accompaniment from a 3D printed flute and a PVC pipe cello and then a 16-ton piano. What's your motive for leaving behind the more traditional instruments that you would see in composition?
There's a few. So firstly, these instruments approach music making from a real grassroots and understandable level. So, for example, the PVC cello, it's only got one string on it. And when people see like that, it's like, oh, I can play that.
Mm.
The focus comes more on the expression of the note rather than being intimidated by, you know, something that has a 400-year history that costs a lot of money and you can make lots of mistakes on. So these things, people can play, the music is easy to understand, and so people that come can get elements of music, science, nature that they can just take to maybe inspire some curiosity in their own way.
Super accessible.
Yeah. The 3D printed flutes only have four holes on them and they come in three different sizes, but all the notes work together. And
wow.
So I very quickly get ensembles of people that never played music together and they're just sounding nice together and they appreciate being part of that group sound that works and it's not too difficult.
Wow.
That's
fantastic. That's an awesome way to approach things. How can people access some of these recordings? How can they hear what you've created?
Yes, I've got some stuff online. I've got a YouTube channel. I probably have to send the link through. And then at the end of this year, I'll be having a recital in November that will be in Perth.
Oh, wow.
But it will be free and we will record the audio and video. And as time goes on and I make more compositions, I will upload those. And of course, there's the potential to tour down the track as well with a show. Obviously, with this music being made, it's good to share it in a live context.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I'm also curious to know, and one of our producers was very curious to know, if you would ever explore any other aspects of the natural world, if you would move, native birds and bird songs are really beautiful, but there are some really interesting sounds made in nature by other aspects of nature, other animals, frogs, insects, that sort of stuff. Do you think that that's something you'd like to explore in the future?
Yes. So I actually just got introduced to somebody that's an expert in zoomusicology, and her, one of her students is doing humpback whale songs.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, they're the songsters of the ocean, and there's a lot to be said there, and other whales. The other one is fish song. So they found that there is like a dawn chorus and the evening chorus of fish on a reef, and that's super interesting to explore.
Wow.
What I've heard is like lots of croaks and interesting pictures, but it's a really recent, like a new thing to explore. So I'd love to, at some point, chuck a microphone in the water and have a good listen and see what goes on there.
But I tell you what, if birds are uncooperative, I can only imagine how uncooperative fish are going to be for you as well. Jean-Michel, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, thanks a bunch. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.